We stand before you this morning, trembling before the awesome responsibility of handling this living word, the bread of life. That word which is forever settled in heaven, that word which one day will stand to be the basis of our final judgment as we stand before a holy God as to how we have lived this life. Our hearts have been richly blessed by the manifestation of the power of God and the living Christ through the Word, this living Word. It is certainly the bread of life. No wonder Peter said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." It says, "Wherein we rejoice, and now for a season, if needs be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, we love, though now we see him not, yet believing, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls." Brethren, we have a rich blessing of having fed upon the bread of life and knowing the reality of Christ living within us and empowering us to live a life of victory. Ivan Steinhauer, I think it was, a non-Mennonite, stepped into a Mennonite church for the first time, under the clock hung a small sign that said, 89 seconds. 89 seconds. He pondered that through the service, and after the service he asked, "What is the meaning of that small sign under the clock?" He asked a brother. The brother replied, "That's to remind us that 89 seconds, every 89 seconds, there is a soul departs this life into eternity. Souls are passing into eternity. And there hung the clock, there hung the reality. Or there was the focus of souls, eternal souls, passing from time into eternity. And we wanted to ponder that this morning. We are so time conscious that we often fail to be eternity conscious. And we've been made conscious of the fact of the brevity of life these past days. Talked to a young man and he said, "Oh, 31 years early, so early in life, a man's life was taken by sovereign appointment of a holy God." He said, "It's a reality check, isn't it? Brethren, it's a reality check, not for the young, but also for all of us. We are passing through the course of time and we are facing an endless eternity." Eternity means, we talk about the eternal God without being, beginning, or end of existence. Deuteronomy 33 says, "The eternal God is thy refuge." And we realize that God is eternal, his existence was eternal before and after. He is eternal. The eternal God is thy refuge. But eternity, another definition was without end of existence or duration. Everlasting, endless, immortal, perpetual, ceaseless, continuing without intermission. Can you grasp it, brethren? The seriousness of the passage of time and our call to live a life of holiness before a holy God and to redeem it. That's the emphasis of our message this morning. Life is filled with choices and decisions. We can't escape it. We are going to make our choices and decisions as we pass through life. And we must realize, we will realize, that are the choices we make have eternal consequence. Not only that of the life of this church, not only that of rather the life of our families and of our children, but also in the life of the church, in the life of everyone whom we meet and how we share the message of the gospel. It is so important. We will either reap the glories of heaven or the torment of an endless hell. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 2:10. Therefore, endure all things for the elect's sake, that I may also obtain the salvation which is Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. It says, of these things, put them in remembrance. God is eternal, and there is an eternal destiny awaiting us, provided through Jesus Christ, like we quoted, an eternal inheritance which God hath given, will prepared for them who obey him. Or, 2 Thessalonians 1, we could quote it, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, and the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with his holy angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon those who know not God and those who obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power. So here, eternity, I was going to say eternity is set in time, in the choices we make today. And it is so important to redeem it. When you talk about redeeming a time, turn with me to Ephesians 5. There's two places where it talks about this. Ephesians 5, 13 to 17. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. No. We're going to start from 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools. Circumspectly is with honestly, without deceit, and with prudence. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Here is a clarion call to redeem the time. Buy it up. The opportunities before us. Before us in our day, in the days that we have as we draw a breath every morning and rise in the morning to face the responsibilities of another and privileges and opportunities of another day to serve. It's not a privilege and opportunity to serve self, but a privilege and opportunity to surrender ourselves in the altar of sacrifice for the work and cause of God and to enjoy reap the blessing of having redeemed the time. Romans 13. We're going to begin by reading verse 10, Romans 13, 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night of time is far spent. The day of Christ's return is fast coming. It's approaching. It could be at any time, any hour. But it is a call to awake to reality, to redeem the time. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Now is the time, the high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. We could talk about there is a time as it relates to seasons, and there are seasons of life. The Ecclesiastes writer talks about this, the seasons of life. A time to do this and a time to do that. And we can go through that in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Let's turn to that, Ecclesiastes 3. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, to get, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? Question. I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. Notice, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. He also has set the world eternity. You each have a living soul. He has set the world in their hearts so that man can find not the work of God that God maketh from the beginning to the end. So we're going to talk about the seasons of time and the need to redeem it. Going to look at these seasons. We talk about time. Seconds extend into minutes. Minutes turn to hours. Hours turn to days. Days to months. Months to years. Years to decades. Decades to centuries. Centuries to millenniums. Makes us conscious that swiftly are turning life daily pages. Swiftly the hours are turning to years. How should we? Swiftly, we're turning life's daily pages. Swiftly, the hours are turning to years. How are we using God's precious moments? Shall we reap glory? Shall we reap tears? Into our hands the gospel is given. Into our hands is given the light. Haste, let us carry God's precious message. Haste, let us carry God's precious message, guiding the erring back to the right. We have the stewardship of time that God has given us, and how are we exercising that stewardship of time? We want to notice the practical areas of that. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We're going to talk about the season of life of youth. And where it says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, and days when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders shall cease. And it goes on to talk about aging, the process of aging. And it talks about us losing our physical capacities one by one. And being 75 years old, we know what that's like. We are in the eve of life. You are in the young years of your life, a time of wonderful opportunity, a time to impress upon your minds. It's a time to redeem time in your youth. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. We have seen young people who have squandered away the opportunity of the freshness and the innocence of their youth and the what they're blessed with. It's a time when you're bursting with energy, enthusiasm, zeal, a time when you are making destiny-altering decisions. And number one, are you going to remember your Creator in the days of your youth? Or are you going to squander the calls of God in your life and be like Solomon lived his life, fulfilling your desires of the flesh and of the mind, and lived fulfilling his passions and desires in a sensual way, only to wind up as a moral fool who is looking back upon life and realizing he had squandered a rare fortune, that of the opportunity of time in his life. He stood as a moral fool on the edge of the precipice of eternity and realized, oh, it was vanity and vexation of spirit. We have heard testimonies of men who have, remember, he came out of a hotel in North Carolina one time, and there was an older man came out too from the door beside us. And he was said, this is my last time I'm going to be fishing in the Keys, trying to satisfy his senses again. And he was ruining the fact that I don't have the physical capability to go back and enjoy my cabin on the Keys where I could fish. And I told him, you know, it says to remember your Creator in the days of your youth, because the evil days are going to come, and you shall say you have no pleasure in them. When the desires of the flesh and its capabilities to fulfill the senses are waning. I had a neighbor who said, I was talking to him one day, he said, Harold, I don't know what to do with my life anymore. He said, I have diabetes, I can't eat things I used to love to eat. I just love to sweets, I love this and I love that and I love to. He said, I can't, I'm restricted that way. He said, I just don't know what to do to, life has lost its purpose. And Said, I'm not a drinker, and I'm not a womanizer. And said, I haven't lived in that style of life, but I've lost the capacity to enjoy life. Wow, what a dark picture. Facing it that way, but brethren, not so for us. Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Not according to your own works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God has a plan for every life here. Are we going? Are you going to apprehend it by faith? Hear the calls of God in your life, in your youth. I plead with you, in your youth. There are young people today who are walking out away from a godly heritage, concerned, praying parents, weeping parents, going out to try and satisfy their senses and live the life of a moral fool. One young man, remember Brother Lowell Troyer saying, came to him and he was starting that road. He said, I went to talk to that young man. There he was in his cowboy boots and you know, all the get up and gear of dress, satisfying himself that way. And he said, I talked to him about the need of his soul, pled with him. Please, are you going to take this course? The direction of travel we're seeing in your life and the choices you're making are not going to prove fulfilling and satisfying the end, he said. As I stood there and pled with him as a bishop for that young soul, he said he just kicked the stones with his cowboy boot and just was indifferent, never even faced it. A few years down the road, he said that same young man had gone out and married. I got this call, he said, I forget what time of the day or night. The young man was weeping. He said, what shall I do? She left me. She's gone. She left me. She deserted me. The law of sowing and reaping. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Whosoever soweth to the flesh of the flesh, reap corruption. Whosoever shall sow to the Spirit, shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. It's an unalterable law that every man will face. The law of sowing and reaping. Let's remember that. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. The beauty and blessing of seeing young people respond to the call of God in their life. When that new day dawns in their life and the day star rises in their heart and they become a child of God, embrace and love the truth and love the church and love their parents and love their home and love the heritage which has been theirs to and profit by that. Bursting with energy, enthusiasm, zeal. We need you young people in the church. You mean so much to us. In the consecration of your lives, in the work of the service, in what you mean in our homes, what you mean in the Christian community and in the church, as you give your life in consecration to do the work of God, in yieldedness to his will, and the joy and blessing and the beauty that is within the context of this body, working together side by side. Brethren, 75 years old, we'll soon be laying down our mantle. And the work must go on. The work has to go on. The work will go on. Be a part of it. Accept the calls of God in your life. Number one, through the new birth. Enter the kingdom of Jesus Christ and consecrate your energies for the work of his service and be sensitive and soft to the leadings of this Holy Spirit in your life that continues to sanctify you and continues to prepare you as an effective vessel in his kingdom. Praise God, we have it in our midst. The season of life, newlyweds, just crossed the threshold from singlehood to married life. First love, enjoying the blessing of companionship, starting to chart a course in marriage, knowing the beauty and blessing of the will of God in a sanctified, beautiful relationship that symbolizes Christ in the church. Oh, what a blessing it is. And a victory for the church. When our youth are brought to a pure marriage altar, and join hands and lives for as one in Christ, the fidelity, the beauty that's demonstrated in that moment when God performs that miracle in joining two lives together. Pure, chaste virgin, a virgin and a chaste young man. Never squander it. Keep thyself pure. It's a victory for the church and so beautiful. And will give you a foundation in your life that God will continue to bless throughout all your years. We've experienced about 53 years in marriage. And I say I still thank God for his wonderful grace and the provision that God has made in marriage and through marriage throughout the years of time to, I trust, a faithful end in Christ Jesus with a beautiful wife by my side and a beautiful husband by your side. Treasure it. Never squander it. Redeem it. The single person. God has a purpose for your life. He chooses, sovereignly chooses, orchestrates the opportunities you have. And we can go to 1 Corinthians 7. You are able to give your life in service in the work of the church in a way that we can't. And 1 Corinthians 7 clearly points that out. You're unencumbered by marital responsibilities. And if that is God's will for your life and lot in your life, you are a rich blessing to the church. And I say, blessed be the, I reflect upon a teacher, well, we know her, Sister Susanna Dick, who has spent, 40-some plus years as a single sister in the church, had given herself to the teaching ministry of the school and laying the foundation in children's lives, diligent, faithful, consecrated year after year after year, pouring herself into that life and work and ministry. There's now men standing in the pulpit that she laid the foundation for their life and faith by what she did in sowing, laying, or indelibly imprinting the principles of truth upon the fleshly tables of their heart that their faith responded to in later years. They heard the calls of God, call to salvation, call to the marriage, call to the ministry, effective in the work. Yes, beautiful. Blessed. Middle age, we could say 30 to 50. Growing families, children, ages ranging from newborn to teenagers and adolescents. Another season of life when a lot of responsibilities are laid upon you. Eternal souls are given to you in your care that you are going to be, you are now a steward of, and you will one day give an account to God for where they are and how the fruit of your life. They are the heritage of the Lord. They are a trust. They are we face it with a sense of stewardship. Redeem the time. Parents, redeem the time. seniors, 50 to 70 years and older. Life's opportunities and challenges are cast in reflection. The fruit of our lives is in clear evidence. It's water under the bridge. Opportunities, a lot of opportunities are past. And oh, I just plead with God, He would have mercy where we as parents have failed. I look back, thought about that, and reflecting yesterday. What could have been different back then if I could just roll the years back and just, you know, step into that child's life again and be able to be me, meet the needs of their soul. Life's opportunities and challenges are cast in reflection. And the fruit of our lives are in clear evidence. The story is told in the tone of our homes by the fruit of what's before us in these benches. The tone of the home, the moral tone of the home, the spiritual tone of the home, or the materialistic tone of the home. For all, regardless of the stage in life we find ourselves in, the clarion call comes to us. Rouse to reality. Romans 13, again we say, Romans 13. It is high time to awake out of sleep. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us do the work of God. Rouse to reality. We live in a hedonistic society. You know what that means? Turn with me to Ecclesiastes 2:24. I'm not going to dwell on this much, but we just want to contrast this and the challenges we face within the environment we find ourselves in as homes, as churches. Ecclesiastes 2:24. We can go to verse 20, 21. There is a man whose labor is in wisdom and in knowledge and in equity, yet a man that hath not labored therein shall he leave it for his portion. This is also vanity. What hath man of all his labor and the vexation of his heart wherein he hath labored under the sun? That question. For all his days are sorrows and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy the good of his labor. This also I saw, that it is from the hand of God. We redeem the time when we find ourselves in every state we are in the seasons of life, in a state of spiritual rest and contentment, knowing the will of God, living in the will of God, yielding to the will of God. In that, we make our living. You go out 5 days a week. It says man by the sweat of his brow is going to put groceries on the table. Man by his labor is going to do that. A man who fails in it is worse than a heretic. Or is worse than a, how does it say? A man don't provide for his own. We all know that. And we all can, there is nothing better for man that he should eat and drink and that he should make his soul enjoy the good of his labor. This also I saw that is from the hand of God. But if you are living for that alone, it's what they call Epicureanism. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. Not thinking about the eternal welfare of your soul, you're just fulfilling the passions of life and of your body. No wonder Solomon said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of life. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. That's the conclusion of the whole matter. So we don't get caught up in the thrills and frills and centrality of our society. It is all about us. It is nauseating. It is perverse. And we as a church rise above it, live in victory. I appreciate so much the testimonies of victory that have come forth, and we see evidence of it here before us in our young people and throughout the whole, through the body, that we live above it. We live in devotion to God. So young people, be thou an example of believers in word and conversation and faith and charity and purity in the life you're living. Demonstrate it. Young men, give yourself to the study and doctrines of the word. Give yourself to it. It's that which provides a foundation for your life. It's that which provides, prepares you as a vessel to be used effectively for God. Memorize the scriptures, meditate upon them, give thyself wholly to them. You think of Sasha Kraus. I think of her many times, through the, especially the time of year. How she, as a young person, they said her Sunday school teacher said she was an amazing student. They had passages to study or to memorize in the book in Romans. He said she memorized the book. She memorized the book. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Lay it up in your heart. Memorize it. Give yourselves to it. Study it. It is that which fits you for a life of usefulness. Go to Bible school. So we give yourselves, yes. Known, just in warning, this is both a message of encouragement and warning. But I warn you, young people, if you put yourself where God, where outside of the will of God by making willful choices, I tremble before, you should tremble before God for every moment, every month, every year, every choice you make outside the will of God in willfulness. We have known young men who have walked away, have not heeded that. And it says, he though being often reproved though and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Tremble before God. You make choices, there's a destiny as a consequence of your choices. Exercise this sensitivity and a softness in relation to your conscience. So in middle age comes time and opportunity to heal in financially, business opportunities, drawn into business opportunities by the choices we make. But I am saying here, seek the counsel of the brethren, seek the counsel of your, have good mentors by your side in relation to the commitments you are making in your finances, in your livelihood. Time to heal in, yes, it is in a sense. Make investments, yes, in a sense. The blessing that is to having stable economy financially within the lives of the brotherhood makes a definite stabilizing contribution with any group. Meeting the physical needs of the body These opportunities come flooding in upon us, flooding in. Are you a steward of what God has given you and God's blessing in your life? But 1 Corinthians 6, we're going to notice this in middle age, in relation to middle age. There is a warning. In redeeming the time, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Says there's men out there, there's a perverse disputings in verse 5, men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such turn away. In this passage it talks about flee, follow, fight, action verbs. We're going to notice that. Turn away from that such. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown in men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. No, notice what it says. But thou, O man of God, what? Flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Flee, follow, and notice fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Going on to the last part of he talks about immortality dwelling in Jesus Christ, and then it's also charge. Verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Why? That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. We talked about eternity, that they may lay hold on eternal life. The church is blessed by men who have been blessed materially and are doing this very thing. They're not out there just diving into one thing after another, heaping debt over their heads and avarice, greed, just never satisfied. But their life demonstrates a life where God has blessed them richly. It's not been the love of money, and it's not been the love of money, which is the root of all evil. They live consecrated lives. God's blessing to them is consecrated for the work of the church and the work of his service. And you will give an account for every dollar he has blessed you with. Then that day of accounting is coming. Appreciate what the man that wrote King and Focus Finances, what was his name? Gary Miller said, I realized all of a sudden, coming to the end of my life, he talked about a man who was coming to the end of his life, and he said he was a man who had been faithful in his making a living, and the Lord had blessed him, and he was, forget how it all went, but, through inflation and rising values of everything, he had acquired, a lot. But he also was thinking about the end of life, and that in a few years, I'm going to stand before God, the judge of all the earth, and give an account for all these blessings. What shall I do with them now? You know what he did? Dispersed. He did exactly this. He dispersed them funds. He didn't sit on them and pile them up and let the children fight over them after they were gone. He dispersed them in a way which was a big blessing to the church, to the ministry of literature, to charity, consistent charities. He said, I think I gave, what did he say, $20,000 to every one of his children. Beyond that, he sold off his assets and just had enough just to finish out his days. Because he knew he was going to give an account before God, and everyone here will. The blessings God has given us. The spiritual calls of God to us, to you in your middle stages of life, that's often where the spiritual calls of God come to, must be subservient to the material and secular goals and ambitions. Subservient, a servant to, willingness to surrender. Remember one young man just started into his marriage, had one child, starting a business, gone through carpenter school, and got his journeyman's ticket, setting himself up, had started engaged in a good business. But the call of God to him, it came to him. And answering to that call of God, he had to sell his home. He had to stop his business. He had to go overseas and surrender all that to the work in ministry. It's subservient to the calls of God, and we surrender that to God. Can be through ordination. It can be through whatever area of service God calls you to. And we know the examples of the scriptures in the neglect of duty and responsibility. Let us heed them. Redeem the time. So in the older senior stages of life, 50, 70 years, the fruit of our lives become clearly manifest. It can do one of two things: create an overwhelming feeling of accomplishment on business and spiritual level. That's a snare. We feel overwhelmed in just reflecting on, had it not been for the grace of God and the blessing of God in our lives. Or overwhelming feelings of discouragement for failures and squandered opportunities. The law of sowing and reaping. And we can reflect upon those whom we met. An older man in the church, and called to the ministry, turned bitter, went from one church to another. His family was lost in the wake of it. Here, there. It says, looking diligently at it, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And oh, the consequence, the awful consequence of the lost souls are a result of your bitterness, your lack of victory in your life, your bitterness and roaming from one place to another. He did find himself later on, but he reminded me of where it talks about your works are going to be gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. Nevertheless, he should be saved if he came to himself, found himself in a faithful church. I remember him coming to me one time. He said, Oh, Harold, the terrible law of sowing and reaping. He said, where are my children at? He said, I can't bear it. Lost souls out in the world, running taverns, being a prostitute, living lives of that trashed their life. Who's responsible? Today is a day of salvation. Today is a time to redeem the time. Make sure we stand clear before God in relation to redeeming the time in having our lives clear before God and being effective in the work of his service. The right use of our time, we're just going to close here. It's by realizing the brevity of life. Psalms 90 says, it goes, talks about the brevity of life and different pictures, word pictures, metaphors. It says, so teach us to number our days that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. So we realize that by the brevity of life. And that's what that young man was telling me yesterday when he said, this is a reality check. This man was only 30-some years old. That's my age. It's a reality check. Redeem the time. That's what he was saying. It's a reality check. Let it be a reality check. Redeem the time by youthful piety. Ecclesiastes 12:11. By subordinating earthly duties to heavenly responsibilities and laying up treasure in heaven, spiritual calls and heavenly and the spiritual responsibilities. But this I say, brethren, that the time is short, it remaineth that both they that have wives and be those they that had none, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. 4, by serious living. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming a time. Wisdom hath builded her house, she hath hewn out her 7 pillars. By being a consistent example before the world, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let's turn with me to Psalms 90, verse 12 to 17. We're going to read that in closing. It says, so teach us to number our days, that we, verse 12, that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And establish thou the work of our hands upon us, yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. May that be our prayer. Let us redeem the time in our day. This is your day. I'll have a closing song.